Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to ask you, invite you to please stand for the reading of God's holy, inspired word. And when I get to the end of the reading, I'm going to invite you to lift your hands and say, Amen, Amen, to God's holy word. Now you'll see why as I read. You'll hear why. Nehemiah chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Going to read through verse 12 and then jump to verse 18. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. This isn't the Watergate Hotel. This is the actual gate called the water gate in the wall around Jerusalem. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the teacher of the law stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated this festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. If you would lift your hands and with me say, Amen, Amen. Amen, amen. Now you may be seated. Thank you for participating. Now, if we were to truly, fully participate in what I read, we would have started this gathering and reading and listening to God's word at about 6:25 a.m. That's officially when sunrise was. And we'd still be going now at 9:30 until noon. Ezra read the book of the law of Moses, God's word, from daybreak, sunrise, till noon. And the people stood and listened attentively. You right? You with me? Is this a new thing we should start? Yes, I think maybe so. We laugh. Right. 6 hours straight through. You know, a normal reading aloud pace, I'm thinking we'd get us through Genesis, that's 50 chapters, that take 3, maybe 3.5 hours. And into Exodus, that's another 40 chapters, maybe not quite reaching the end. In Exodus, of course, we encounter God's law. They called God's law the whole Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the reading of God's word. What's the longest stretch you've gone in just sitting, reading, or listening to God's word? Think about that. They went 6 hours, and by the way, that was day one. Then they went again the next day and the next day for 7 days of the festival plus the eighth day, and they would have continued on in reading and hearing God's word. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned, you know, didn't want to brag or anything, but I had, in one sitting, had read the entire book of Obadiah. Now, that sounds pretty impressive, I think, doesn't it? Obadiah's one chapter, it's 21 verses. It's not much more than what I just read right now. But think about that, sustained reading and listening to God's word. And again, it says all the people, all of them gathered there, listened attentively. 6 hours. Something to think about. Now, granted, this was right after the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. Many of these people, maybe some of them, had never even heard the word read to them. They were hungry. This was a significant time when Israel had returned to Jerusalem after all the years of exile in three waves. And after the third wave, under the leadership of Governor Nehemiah here, they were hungry and the wall had been rebuilt, and now they're gathered. And Ezra, who had studied the word of God and observed the word of God and devoted himself to teaching, is reading and preaching and sharing the word. In the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is the Apostle Paul writing to his protege, young Timothy. But in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." At our Monday-Thursday service, we had a little sustained reading in the Word in Exodus chapter 12 at the Passover, the background. And then again in Matthew 26, the Last Supper, you know, we read through. And on Good Friday, it was broken up with several readers, but we actually read through much of John chapter 12 and all of John chapter 18 and 19 at that service, interspersed with songs. Well, I'm going to go through these 7 R's of worship from this text of Nehemiah chapter 8, and that's the first one is reading. The first R, reading, hearing, listening to God's word. The second R is responding to God's word. Nehemiah 8, verse 6. Verse 5 says, Ezra opened the book. And then verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people, you hear this term in here a lot, all the people lifted their hands and responded to God's word, amen, amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Amen. Amen. You know this word. We say this word. We usually close our prayers with this word. And if you know the word amen, you know Hebrew and you know Greek as well as English and some others. This is one of these words that starts in Hebrew, amen. It's taken directly from Hebrew into Greek, amen. It's the same word. It's taken directly from Greek into English. We say it usually amen or amen. It's the same word. And you might have learned in confirmation or somewhere else that amen, amen means so be it. That is true. And that's also what it means. That is true. In essence, when the people are saying amen, amen, they are saying truth. They are hearing God's word and they're replying, saying, that is truth. That is truth. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, when Jesus begins some of his sayings with truly, truly, I say to you, King James, verily, verily, I say unto thee. That word verily, that word truly, behind it, the Greek word is amen. Jesus is literally saying, amen, amen, truth, truth is what I'm saying to you. I like that, and I like this response. And sometimes, you know, we're a Lutheran church, Lutheran brethren, Norwegian, You know, if we were in another church and they were hearing a sermon, getting fired up, they were singing a song or responding to a song, we would hear that word a lot more, right? Amen? See, I have to like stir it up. Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, right after they're raising their hands saying, amen, amen, truth, truth to the word, right after that it says, then they bowed down and worshiped. This, from this, amen, to this, bowed down. Now, bowing down before the hearing of the word of God, it's a position of prayer, it's a position of humility, and it's a position of submission, right, to the authority of God and His Word. I will always remember, shortly after Betsy and I, in 1994, moved to Fergus Falls, Minnesota, for me to go to Lutheran Brethren Seminary, Pastor Dave Veum, now he's Dr. Veum, and he is president of Lutheran Brethren Seminary, at the time pastor at Bethel, right there by the campus. And he came over, we had a meal together, I believe, but what I remember is Pastor Dave Veum taking the Bible and going like this, raising it above his head. I'll never forget this image. And he said, it's not that we worship this book, but we are under the authority of the Bible, of God's Word. It is over us. We're not over it. We don't get to pick it apart. We are submitted to God's Word and His truth. Our Church of the Lutheran Brethren Statement of Faith. We have these brochures if you would like one. And by the way, that Bethel membership class coming up in May, we will be looking at this as well. But Doctrinal Statement of Faith for the Church of the Lutheran Brethren, we believe Article number 1, the Bible, God's Word, including both Old and New Testaments, as originally given, is the verbally and plenarily inspired Word of God. I always have to look up what plenarily means. I have to do it again. Word of God, and is free from error in the whole and in the part, and is therefore the final authoritative guide for faith and conduct. Amen? That is God's Word, and the people responded to God's Word. Truth, truth, and bowing down in submission and prayer and worship. First R, reading, begins with the reading of the word. Second R, responding, truth, truth, and submitting to the authority of God's word. The third R is realizing. Now here we go to verse 8 in Nehemiah 8. Begins in verse 7 with the Levites, and that whole list of names, I'm not going to go through that list again. And the Levites, it says, were also reading from the book of the law of God and making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Now, I wanted another R word, so I had to stretch a bit from understanding to realizing. But as I thought about it, when the word of God starts to become clear, we use this term, right? It becomes real before your eyes. In fact, whenever you like have an aha moment, and now I get it, I understand, we often say, I see it. Now I see it. Realize what God's word means. The Levites, these men from the tribe of Levi, that was the tribe that was set apart by God for the worship and ministry at the temple, and also for the ministry of the word and prayer for the people. And here these men, the Levites, are going around to the people and explaining, helping them understand what they're hearing from God through His Word. It's kind of like they're the living study Bible notes. You know, if you have a good study Bible, you read God's Word, and you go, "That I'm not sure exactly what it's saying." Go to the notes at the bottom, and sometimes, hopefully, it helps you understand. That's what the Levites were doing. They're like the living notes. I want to make a little side note. If you have a study Bible, remember the text of the Bible itself is the inspired Word of God. The notes at the bottom are not. Okay? Now, usually and hopefully, prayerfully, they are very helpful. But I just want you to remind you, just because they're in the Bible, that's not the inspired Word of God. That's some people sometime later who are, again, like the Levites here, trying to help you understand. But God's word itself is what is authoritative. Another little side note, we had two lists of names in this reading, and a number of them end with I-A-H. In fact, the governor himself here, Nehemiah, and like Jeremiah, now you've heard, I know if you've been here for a while this past year, what the E-L ending means in a Hebrew word, like Bethel. El means God. Yep, somebody remembered. Bethel literally means house of God. Israel means struggles or wrestles with God. Well, here the I-A-H ending is short for Yahweh. Yah. It's not just Ah, it's Yah, and it's short for Yahweh. The name Nehemiah means comforted by Yahweh. I hope and pray all of us experience Nehemiah today, feeling and experiencing the comfort of Yahweh. Isn't that awesome? Yahweh, the name of God, comforted by Yahweh, Nehemiah. So we have the reading of God's word. We have responding, amen, truth, and worship and submission to God's word. We have realizing now here, understanding what God's word means, seeing it and getting it, connecting to it. We come to the fourth R, is repenting. So if realizing, you know, is up here intellectually, like, oh, I understand, I see it, repenting is when God's word goes down to here and you feel it. You feel it. And as they were hearing God's law, they were feeling it and they were being cut to the heart. It says they were grieving. They were convicted of their sin. This is like a spiritual surgical pain. It's necessary, but it hurts for good reason. It's when you see now God's holiness and in contrast to his holiness, your own sinfulness. Woe is me, like Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips before a holy God, among a people of unclean lips. To repent is to be under the conviction of God's law, his word, his holiness. And it's as we did earlier in the service, is to confess your sins to God. It's the first step, acknowledge and confession of my sins before holy God. It is to grieve. There is that sense of mourning, of grieving over one's own sin and what sin does to you and to others, to the world. For the wages of sin is death. Death. With death comes grief. But it doesn't stop there. We don't end in grieving and even confession, but then we seek God's forgiveness. For us, we celebrated Easter again. It's going to the cross. Seeing again the greatest gift God ever gave, his only Son who took your sins, all that sinfulness and grief and shame and pain, took it on the cross so that you may be forgiven, set free of all your sin. And then seeking to realign your will with God's will and his word, with his help. Thy will be done. Help me, Lord, now to live in this new life you've given to me. Reading the word, responding to the word, amen, truth, and worship in submission. Realizing, understanding what God is saying. And then realizing in your heart and repenting of your sins. We come to the fifth R, rejoicing. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in verse 12, then all the people, there it is, all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger, and it's speaking about the Lord, Yahweh, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor, that is his grace, lasts forever, a lifetime. weeping, grieving may stay for the night, but, one of those good but, rejoicing comes in the morning. Grieving, mourning may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. After repenting of your sin and receiving God's grace and forgiveness, God wants you to rejoice, to experience His joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, your energy for life. In fact, it's a whole new life, right? Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in new life to God in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come, the new life in Christ, and it's a life of joy and celebration and rejoicing. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells three parables right in a row, and each one is about a sinner being lost in sin and then found through repentance and found by God, and then there's always a party. First, there's a lost sheep who's brought back by the shepherd. The shepherd says, "Rejoice with me." There it is. "For I have found my lost sheep." Then the second one is a woman who loses a coin, a valuable coin. She searches all over until she finds it. And then she says, she calls her neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, for my coin was lost and now it is found." And then the third one is the parable of the prodigal son. The son who gets his father's inheritance early, goes off and squanders it in a life of sin until he has nothing and is broken. And he repents and returns. The father runs to him, right? Embraces him and says, "Kill the fattened calf. We are throwing a feast. We are celebrating. We are rejoicing. For my son was lost. He was dead. Now he's alive again. He's found." Rejoicing. And in each of those, Jesus says, "I tell you, there is more rejoicing in heaven among the angels of God over one lost sinner who repents." Rejoice. We celebrate with God. You know, it's not just you celebrating on your own. It's always with God. He's the source. And it's celebrating with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's always "rejoice with me." Joy demands to be shared, doesn't it? How joyful is it just to be solitary? Joy. It's always "rejoice with me." So we have the reading of God's word, responding to His word. Amen, amen. Submitting to the authority, realizing, understanding what God's word is saying, repenting of our sins before our holy God, rejoicing in new life when we are found by God and forgiven and set free. The sixth R is resting. Resting. Nehemiah 8, verse 11. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still." You've heard these words before, right? "Be still," they said, "for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Now the word be, is a be word. It's not a do word. We are human beings. God created us to be with Him. And then, in and with Him, He created us to do, to work, to serve, to worship, to love. But it begins with where we are with Him. And calmness is a B word. You don't say, "Do calm." "Do calmness right now." No, it's always "Be calm. Be at peace." And as the Lord says, and as He says through the Levites here too, "Be still." You don't say, "Do still." It doesn't make sense, right? It's a being. And we're to be still and know, right? The Lord is God. Be still. Be calm. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. This is a Psalm 23 thought, isn't it? Being still, being provided for, just to rest in God is to trust in God. I'm at rest, I'm still, I'm calm because I know He has it. Better than that, I know He has me. He's got you. Be still, be calm. reading, responding, realizing, repenting, rejoicing, resting. There's a hymn, there's a song. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. There's that joy again too. I am finding out the greatness of thy, of your loving heart. And the seventh R, simply repeat. You don't just hear God's word once and say, oh, I've got it, right? Every day, every week, continually. Nehemiah 8:18, the last verse I read, then it says, so after all of that, day after day, from the first day till the last, Ezra read, reading again, from the book of the law of God, and they celebrated, they rejoiced for the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. These were regular, repeating worship that we all need to go through. That's why we have this every Sunday, but we need it throughout the week as well. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That continue to live in him, behind the word live is a Greek word parapateo. Now, if you hear a kind of familiar word in there, it's because peripatetic, that's a word we use to describe a person who is perpetually walking around. Peripateo literally means to walk around. And the verse is literally saying, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk around, live your life in him, in that intimate fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, every step, every breath, every moment, repeating, continuing. Could you, don't have to stand, but just lift your hands with me to God and his word and say twice, amen, amen. And then let us bow before him, bow our heads and our hearts in worship and prayer. God, thank you for your word, which is true and which is truth. Your word is alive. It is living. It is active, as active and alive today as it was in 500 BC when Ezra opened the book and read and the people responded. Lord, we respond to the same living words today, your words of truth with amen. And Lord, we bow before you in submission. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and your will, Lord, your will would be done in our lives, that we would walk in intimate relationship with you every moment, every day, through these R's of reading your word, responding to your word, realizing your word, repenting in response to you and your holiness, and then rejoicing and resting, Lord, in you for everything. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.